Welcome. All of our ideas about everything mean nothing. What could be funnier than that? When we've tried to convince ourselves our entire lives that all of our ideas really mean something and they're important and we can rely on them somehow. And just in one fell swoop, to just admit that all of our ideas mean nothing. It's just such a relief. The label that is attached to nothing is nothing. So, you know, within timeless awareness, the vast expanse of the basic space of awareness, it's never been made into anything. Anything that appears within it is it. So it's never been made into something other than itself. So when we take individual labels to be meaningful and significant in their own right, then we're only seeing a very small part of the picture. That's only one aspect of what appears, the label. Only one aspect. Without knowing that the essence of the label is the basic space of awareness, and that what the label imputes cannot be found to have an identity of its own, then, we know nothing. We really know nothing about what's going on. And, you know, it's so clear that the way we think about things today, 50 years from now, it will be considered mental illness. It will be considered mental illness. And to constantly be obsessing over all these appearances of nothing and acting like they are something and then building a whole world out of it and wars and famine and all of these other things, it's really something, isn't it? So, you know, when you know how a lion, even though they're enormous, they weigh so much, but from lying down, they can spring up into the air, that enormous weight, and cover an expanse and land somewhere else. So that's what the lion of awareness is like. By just getting familiar with awareness, the power of the lion of awareness, it's possible to completely leap over all of these ideas we have about everything. We can't do so by mentally examining everything. Where has mentally examining everything led us? Well, that being said, mentally examining everything has led us to inner turmoil and to outer turmoil as well, turmoil within people and outer turmoil amongst people. When we just rest as the awareness that is the basic space of all that appears without separating out from whatever appears, that's how we decisively conclude in our own experience that everything is an indivisible expanse, a seamless indivisible expanse. We can't do so through mental understanding. Mental understanding can only hint at what the reality of the decisive experience of timeless awareness is, of what timeless wisdom awareness is. And whatever thoughts we might have about what we think it is, they're all wrong. Because it's not thought. It isn't something that's thought. It can't be thought. It's completely indescribable. Completely indescribable. So this is really good news that it's indescribable, because that means we can just stop trying to describe. Awareness is the essence and nature of all descriptions. The basic space of awareness is the essence and nature of all descriptions. So why not get to know the essence and nature of the description, awareness, rather than only relying on the description? In knowing the essence and nature of the description, all is known about all descriptions. So what could be better than that? This is what the word omniscience means, or all-knowing. It's knowing the two aspects of everything, the two indivisible aspects of everything, no matter what it is. The realization of the true nature of all points of view, the realization of the true nature of all phenomena. And this is nowhere other than in our own mind. So we're not trying to get something that someone else has, or we're not trying to change our circumstances to match the circumstances of an historical figure. Just wherever we're living, whatever we're doing, in the essence of our own mind, is the timeless wisdom awareness of incredibly potent benefit to ourselves and to others. And we know this when we rest as awareness, when we rest as awareness without describing anything, without seeking anything, without needing to separate out from anything. So it isn't a matter of there being awareness and then a bunch of points of view that are being looked at within awareness. It isn't that at all. It's the indivisibility of the clear light of wisdom awareness and every appearance, no matter what it is. And that is the only practice that leads to swift accomplishment, to just rest as awareness repeatedly, for short moments many times. And if you don't know what awareness is, then it doesn't really matter. If you keep showing up here, just by showing up, you'll come to know what awareness is in your own experience. And then in resting as awareness for short moments repeated many times, it becomes obvious. And really, you don't even have to do that. If you expose yourself to unerring instruction, like the instruction in the Great Freedom Teaching, instruction that is so totally unerring, so precise and so specific, that all you need do is have even a slightly open mind, and just return again and again, and what will dawn in you as glaringly obvious and clear and fully evident at all times is the nature of your very self, timeless awareness. This will dawn. There's no effort to make. There are no tricks or gimmicks to employ. Just to rest as awareness for short moments repeated many times until it becomes obvious at all times is all that is necessary. There's no need to rely on anything else. In resting as awareness for short moments repeated many times, you will find everything you've always sought in anything. No matter what you've been seeking in different seeming sources of happiness, you will find in resting as awareness. And rather than it being something fleeting, it will be something permanent. So this is good. Now, it's very important to have unerring instruction. And what is unerring instruction? Unerring instruction is instruction that has led to the swift accomplishment of timeless wisdom awareness of potent benefit for the most people throughout time. And these are instructions that have been handed down from generation to generation. Not by people to people, but wisdom awareness appears in each generation or in several generations. And it provides a teaching that is absolutely perfect for the people living in that era, spoken in a language that people of that era can understand, and providing a complete system of support for people of that era, whatever it is. So it's very important to know what unerring instruction is. Unerring instruction basically is that which delivers the result. Unerring instruction transmits the decisive experience of the true nature of our own being to many people all at once. So you see, this is much different than instruction that is just based on someone's experience, their own experience or instruction that just talks about something and refers to different methods and practices or ways and means or gimmicks to kind of bring it into being. So it's very, very important to know the distinction between these two, because all of us here have lived for decades, and we all have all kinds of points of view that appear in our awareness. And some of them are very overt, we know what they are, and then others are very subtle. So when the more overt points of view naturally settle down by resting in awareness, then it's like the flames of a fire dying down. We don't see any flames anymore, but if we stir the logs with a stick, we'll see that there are burning embers within. And such is the case with resting as awareness. The more we rest as awareness, the more the subtle nature of points of view becomes obvious. But no matter what comes up, there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to protect. There's nothing to defend against. Whatever appears is an ally. So there's no reason to think that it is threatening or can hurt us in any way. And we develop complete indwelling confidence in this, in resting as awareness. So no matter what appears, we're prepared for it. And another aspect of unerring instruction is that it always provides support for everyone who is facing not only overt points of view, the direct encounter with those, but all the subtle points of view too. So there's support available for that. There's no one who's off on their own in a land where no one speaks awareness. Have you ever felt like that when you go home, like, oh, yeah, I'm resting as awareness, but almost no one I know is speaking awareness? Well, now, just like the lion leaping from one spot to another, there is a worldwide system of support for all people resting as awareness, and it's available 24/7 through the Great Freedom Teaching. And so this is very important, you know, it's very important. We live in a new era, and we live in an era when we can be together in really miraculous ways. And so why not use all those means of being together to rest as awareness together? This is very important. All points of view that appear, no matter what they are, they're just like a cascading waterfall of light within light. They're nothing to even pay any attention to. It's only when we start to pay attention to them, in other words, we become distracted by an appearance, and then we need to either accept it or reject it. That process of discriminating whether it's something to accept or reject is the point at which we begin to do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. If with the appearance of the point of view, whatever it is, we simply rest as awareness, then soon these appearances that have seemed so troublesome will be like greeting an old friend. Instead of it being someone we don't want to see and we cross the street to avoid seeing them or talking to them. Has anyone ever done that? And then we just rest as awareness, and all these points of view that at one time seemed so problematic become like a good friend. A good friend. And so, you know, there's still a subtle awareness and then the meeting of the good friend. But if we persist in resting as awareness, then soon all these points of view that are appearing, they'll just be their own undoing, and there'll be a subtle sense of awareness that's inseparable from that point of view. And this is like a line drawn in water, or the flight path of a bird disappearing in the sky. We're just resting as awareness, and there's nothing to be done about the points of view. They're their own undoing. And then with the gradual familiarization with awareness and intensification of it, what occurs is that eventually we arrive at the point where all the points of view aren't even noticed in any way. They're just completely outshone by the clear light of wisdom awareness. So no matter what appears, there's never even any sense of it being something like a point of view or anything else. There's just the indivisible clear light of wisdom awareness, which is synonymous with love and well-being and tremendous benefit, tremendous ease within ourselves and as a magnificent display that we share with others. So this is like receiving an incredible diamond as a gift. Say a diamond that is so big you can't even pick it up. That'd be a big diamond. And it's absolutely flawless and perfect, and it's all ours. This is the outshining of all points of view. You know, this is like when the sun arises at midday and all the planets and stars are completely outshone that we're so visible at night. And so we have our diamond, but what does that mean? Does that mean we're clinging to our diamond, or what is it really like to have this diamond that's so big we can't even pick it up? Well, what it means is that when we have that diamond, when we truly have that diamond, the realization of that diamond awareness within ourselves, then not only do we have it, but we have the capacity to provide everyone in the world with the same diamond. So, you know, that's really something, isn't it? Now, does anyone have a question that they'd like to ask? A very good way to spend our time together, if you want to ask a question, is to ask a question to clarify your own understanding of resting as awareness. So in other words, to describe your experience of resting as awareness now and seek clarification about that. And then I will either confirm your understanding or I will correct your understanding so that becomes your own experience. Now, don't be afraid now that I've said that. This isn't an awareness contest here, so we're not comparing ourselves to anyone else. There's no one to compare ourselves to. So, you know, if I was afraid of what people thought about me, I wouldn't be sitting up here, because, you know, some people think I'm the greatest and other people think I'm the worst, so... What does it matter? Ken?
In resting as awareness, is it almost like just pressing pause for like a split second or longer, you know, in the play of life all around, and something happens or nothing happens,
mm-hmm.
and rather I just kind of like pressing pause on the play, pausing play or pausing the recording device.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good way of describing it. Rest is just to pause as awareness without distraction by thinking about whatever appears. And there's no need to maintain it. Do you see what I'm saying? Just one instant of it what's called instantaneous awareness. One instant of that is instantaneous timeless wisdom awareness, completely uncontrived. So it doesn't have any other labels attached to it. It hasn't taken up residence anywhere. Just that one instant of instantaneous awareness is better than a lifetime of meditative absorption in a state like emptiness. So you see, when you have just that moment of uncontrived instantaneous awareness, you know what it is. And then you can pause as that or rest as that or whatever you want to call it for short moments repeated many times, and those moments will increase in number, and then they will all blend together in a seamless expanse.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. This morning I made a decision about something, and it was through a mental process. But I didn't know I was identified with this mental process going on. But afterwards, about a half an hour later, I'm sitting having a chai, and I thought, wow. It was like I was involved in this, my thought was making this decision, but I felt like, I felt uninvolved again. It's like there was some distance from the thought, whereas before I was involved and I thought that was me. But here, through the memory, there was like this openness, like, oh, it seemed like a limited way to make a decision by being involved in the thinking process. But I didn't get it at the time. I had to, when I got some distance, then the realization came about that it wasn't so solid anymore. It was like, oh, well, you know, I don't have to do that way. But it came at it like a lapse of time. It wasn't like in the moment I saw the process going on, but later through the memory it came in that way.
Yes. All of what you describe, think of it in this simple way. Within the all-encompassing peer view of awareness, all points of view appear, and they appear as points of light within the clear light of awareness. So it's all light. It's all the clear light of awareness. It's nothing other than that. So whether you call it memory or thinking or whatever it is, just rest as that awareness. Now, what's very important about what you've shared is that you were lost in this thought process, and then later you suddenly realized the openness of that thought process and all thought processes. So this is really good. This is the way true realization comes about. Just in realizing that instant of complete wide open space.
Opened.
Uh-huh. You know?
And the thoughts were, process was in, like inside it, and the openness was where it was really like there was anything could happen. Yeah. Whereas by being involved in that, it's like only that could happen.
Yes, exactly. Continue to rest as that complete perceptual openness, and more of that will become obvious to you. One of the wonderful things about receiving unerring instruction is that everything that is stated is very purposeful, and it comes directly from wisdom awareness, so there really isn't anything to do. Just by placing yourself here, it works in a wondrous way and just becomes obvious in your own experience. So there's no need to even think about how it came about or anything at all. It's just great.
As I understand, we should not make any effort for resting. It should be something like effortless.
Another instruction we have received is that if we rest in afflicted state, it is of tremendous use.
Yes.
But combining these two instructions seems difficult. That means to have effortless rest in awareness in an afflicted state. Could you comment on that?
Okay, sure, I will. Well, in the beginning, when we begin to rest as awareness, it takes effort. But the moment we rest as awareness, we've found the effortless effort. Do you see what I'm saying? We've found the effortlessness in effort. So we have our first decisive experience of things not being too. This is really amazing, just in resting as awareness. Now, usually for most people in the beginning, it's easier to rest as positive points of view and neutral points of view, just to rest with the things that we're accustomed to that feel good and that they might be a match for something as good as awareness. So we can see how the positive and neutral points of view might be awareness. In resting as those, then we strengthen ourselves more and more to rest as the afflictive states when they appear. So perhaps in the beginning it might be completely impossible to rest as afflictive states. But that doesn't mean it's impossible. For example, in my own experience, it was those afflictive states that I began resting as. So just horrible afflictive states of terror, of confusion, bewilderment, paranoia, incredible trauma. I'd been in a very traumatic situation and everything had been totally turned upside down for me. So just it doesn't mean that you can't rest as afflictive states right now. Anyone can. It's just that when these powerful surges come up in the body of the afflictive states, the negative points of view, we've learned that they are something that are a threat. So we've trained ourselves to believe that there's something that are a threat. We only understand their label. It's only in resting as awareness that we can understand the non-threatening nature of the afflictive state. So by repeated rest as awareness for short moments, many times, we strengthen ourselves in order to rest as awareness when afflictive states appear. And when we're able to do that, that really provides the greatest fruit. Provides the greatest fruit.
So you said in the beginning it will be difficult to rest in the afflicted state.
It may be.
But with time it comes, I think, that we are able to rest in an afflicted state, but the rest looks little bit of superficial type rather than deep, as it can be in other times. Is that okay?
All right. That's I understand what you're saying exactly. You can look at that as a bridge. So it's kind of, it's just a transition. There's subtle awareness present as the afflicted state, correct? And just know that by continuing to enjoy complete perceptual openness in all experience, including the afflictive state, that subtle awareness will become more and more blazing until the state itself is outshone. In other words, there's no separation between bliss and the afflictive state. Everything is a single expanse. Now, this comes about very easily and as simply as I have described. So please never give up enthusiasm, no matter what afflictive state may appear. We have many living examples of the Great Freedom Teaching of people who have resolved all these afflictive states in awareness. So, Benny.
What is perceptual openness?
Mm-hmm. You don't even need to know or define it. Just rest as awareness, and that is complete perceptual openness. That's it. But it's not, it's in the experience, not outside the experience. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's not openness looking at the experience, it's openness as the experience. Yeah.
What I have understood is nothing need to change when you are resting. No outer circumstances need to change. But when we are resting, we understand that some of the things which you have been doing all these days, getting involved and indulged in some of the point of views, when we see in the rest that there is no use of that, so naturally, of course, there is no, not just for the sake of whether it is good or bad or something, but when we see things, yes, there is no need of getting involved in those things anymore. So we can choose to choose, in a way choose, of course it is not even choosing again. Naturally we don't have an inclination for that again anymore.
Exactly.
So it's okay, no?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Uh-huh. You're asking if when there are things that you have been doing for a long time, methods and practices, or just ways of living, or anything that it might be that you've been involved in, and in resting as awareness, it may occur to you that they're not necessary anymore, and then just quite naturally, you may leave them behind, or not.
Whether it is positive, negative, whatever it is, when we see things are not needed, just simply we can choose not to indulge in that again. It's okay.
Exactly. Now, this is very simple and straightforward. So it's I'll share an experience from my own life in that regard. As all of you know, I'm married and I have children. And I have grandchildren too, so you know I've lived the life of a householder for at least part of my life. But then 10 years ago, I decided to live alone. You know, so I live at the Great Freedom Sanctuary, and I live alone. And that just naturally came about because my life just became more and more committed to total benefit. And so by living alone, then that's my primary focus. My primary focus is Great Freedom Teaching. It's no longer my family. I have complete loving, wonderful relationships that are better than they've ever been with all members of my family. But this naturally came about that I would be living in another way. So this is just the way it is, and it's nothing to think about or worry about or wonder what's going to happen. It just naturally occurs, and there's no turning back.
Hi. So when you start out, resting as awareness comes in small packets, or is it just come infrequently, and then once you do it more and more, it becomes more perpetual? How does that work?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I really like your illustration. It does come in small packets. Uh-huh. It's just like that. That's a very good illustration. It comes in small packets, and then in resting as awareness, repeatedly for short moments many times, so the small packets repeated many times, but in a very uncontrived way, then it becomes more and more united and stretches from just a few moments to then a few minutes and a half an hour, half a day, and then on and on and on until it's permanent at all times, day and night.
It becomes perpetual then.
Exactly.
Okay. And how do you relate that to your previous experience as a householder to now in terms of daily life and how you perceive things and pursuits, worldly interests, things like that?
Oh, that's an excellent question. Whatever is. So whatever the circumstances of our lives are, they are. Now, this shift occurred for me 25 years ago into realizing who I have always been. So at the time I had young children and I was living a very different lifestyle than I am now. But when the shift occurred, I felt very moved at the same time to be of great benefit in some way, and I knew that that would occur, and that it would be beyond anything I could imagine at that point in time. But you see, then that just naturally came about. It just naturally came about, and it was seamless from everything. So the circumstance of family life and the circumstance I'm living now are not two different things. They're inseparable. At first, what appeared within me was something that was of tremendous self-benefit, and then it became of great benefit in the form of the Great Freedom Teaching. So you see, at the same time, everyone in my family is very on board, so to speak. You know, like my husband is working tirelessly to store all the talks on hard drives and manages the whole system of printing all the DVDs and CDs. So it just all evolves over time. And it just is whatever it is. It doesn't need to look any special way. At one time, someone like me may have gone to live in an ashram or something like that, or a monastery. And that's a wonderful way of life, but there really wasn't anywhere that I wanted to be. So, in effect, the Great Freedom Sanctuary came about. And, you know, it just is whatever it is. But when we look at things dualistically, then we tend to separate out into black and white everything that happens. So we say, either I'm living one way, a worldly life, or I'm living another way, renouncing the worldly life. And so you see, this is just more duality. It's more duality because everything is totally seamless. When we realize that in our own being, then there's no need any longer to separate anything out. Do you have a question about that for your own life?
Oh, I don't disagree with anything you're saying. I just, I have trouble personally seeing how, you know, when people start becoming more aware and more self-conscious, how society can progress. Because I do think there's needs for infrastructure and things like that. But if everybody sort of looks inward and stops doing things, then things don't function. So that's sort of the duality complex on my part.
Oh, that's one of my favorite points of view. Thank you for mentioning it. Becoming aware doesn't mean getting into a state and then being cut off from the world. That's just an idea about what becoming aware or self-conscious means. You see, that's a misperception. It's a misguided perception of what awareness is. True wisdom awareness is a force of immense, uncontrollable benefit. That's what true wisdom awareness is. Other things are just caricatures, you know, like little cartoons. So true wisdom awareness is potently beneficial and is not passive in any way. And for example, with the Great Freedom Teaching, the Great Freedom Teaching is no different than an IT startup company, except now we're like a mid-stage company. But we started out with all of the same kinds of operating systems, technology, infrastructure, everything worldwide from the very beginning, just like the best startup company starts up. And so, you know, this isn't about a passive state where someone is sitting somewhere and oming, or, you know, it's fine if people do that. That's great. It's diversity. That's wonderful. But I happen to agree with you. I know for certain that timeless wisdom awareness is more powerful than any force that can be imagined. And because it's completely beyond causation and constructs of time and space, it has no conventional reference points that it's tied to. So it can solve problems that exist in the world in a way that no one has ever been able to provide before. Now, it sounds like that's what you're interested in and looking for, perhaps, rather than being in a state.
That answers my question. Thank you.
You were mentioning that in the beginning it takes a little effort, and later it's effortless. Mm-hmm. But what does this little effort consist of?
Just resting as awareness, just resting as the ease of your being. And if you don't know what that is, just keep coming back and you'll know what it is.
What went through my head while you were talking is these, well, of course it's, yeah, a big expansion of awareness. Sorry, but I have heard and read that, for instance, Byron Katie and others, they went completely bananas when it suddenly happened to them. Mm-hmm. And I find that a bit scary, actually. Could you say something on that?
Well, I don't know about anyone else, but I didn't go completely bananas. And just focus on yourself and your own experience, really. It's all in your own experience. Who cares about anybody else? All I know is that when I was a young woman, I was a woman of tremendous accomplishment. I'd accomplished all kinds of things. I was named one of the outstanding young women in America. All of these things. And it brought me absolutely nothing in terms of well-being. And finally, through a very traumatic event, I saw that none of all of the strategies and accomplishments I had put together could in any way calm my mind that was filled with incredibly painful thoughts and emotions related to certain experiences. And in that, I realized that I had always assumed there was someone in here who was at the control panel, this accomplisher, this person who could do all these things. And suddenly, there was no one to be found. There was no one in there anywhere who was in control of all of this display of thoughts and emotions. And in the helplessness and powerlessness of not being able to rely on any of my belief systems, I suddenly realized that all of this data, so to speak, all of these points of view just occurred spontaneously within a basic space. And that basic space is a space of complete relief. And really none of the things that appear have any significance in their own right. And so I just began to rest as that relief. And I did it rigorously, night and day for 10 days, unflaggingly. And then it just became obvious, like it always is and always was. The basic space of awareness that contains everything, the basic space of mind that contains everything about all experience, is always completely at ease. Completely at ease. And everything that appears is inseparable from it. And if, you know, we can look at this as a spiritual thing, but I never talk about it in that way. It's about being human. And we can either elect to have this primitive, superstitious mind in which we think that all these thoughts and emotions mean something, or we can elect to grow familiar with the new mind. The human species must take this leap or we're goners. That's what it boils down to. So, you know, right now, the way that the primitive mind works is that it's a mind that we could call it a fight and bite mentality. So it's not really very pretty. It's the fight and bite mentality. First of all, within ourselves, we're fighting with ourselves and our thoughts and emotions. And then it always feels like they're biting us. So fight and bite, fight and bite. The emotion comes up, we don't like it, we think we have to have a better one, and so it bites us in that way. And so we think we have to get better thoughts, better emotions in order to be a good person. But that's extremely, extremely primitive. The complete relief of all thoughts and emotions is in the ease of their basic space. It isn't in the label. We'll never create more ease by attaching to all the labels. And if we can grow familiar with that awareness, we grow familiar with the wisdom mind. We grow familiar with our true identity. We grow familiar with the mind that we already have that is of tremendous benefit. It's of tremendous benefit already, whether we're utilizing it or not. And, you know, whoever is ready to rest as awareness will. But the people who elect to rest as awareness and really foster this evolutionary leap in the mind they are the leaders of today, but there will be increasing numbers and they will be the leaders of tomorrow. No one will be able to get a job, any kind of leadership job, 50 years from now without having complete familiarity with the true nature of mind. This is just the way it is. It's very easy to see that that's what's occurring. And that comes about effortlessly with unerring instruction. It's just like anything else, you know, if you want to learn to write C++ or whatever code you write, then you want to know how to do that. You have to have instruction about how to do that. And then you might implement it and innovate on the different kinds of code you're writing, but you need to have a basic structure and it needs to be unerring in a certain way. So it's the same with this. It's no different. If unerring instruction is received, then you can have a robust program. You can have a robust mind. You can have a mind that's as robust as it's meant to be. It's not some esoteric, mystical, weird matter that's cut out from life. It can't even be called anything. It can't be called a philosophy or a psychology or spiritual or non-spiritual. There's really nothing to call it. What we're talking about is the essence of being. To spiritualize it or philosophize it just makes it inaccessible to many people. Many people don't like philosophy. They don't want to know about that. And many, many people don't want to know anything about spirituality or religion. Increasing numbers don't want to have anything to do with it. When we talk about just being human and what is it to be optimally human, then we find that there's something about ourselves that's already magnificently human, completely wise, completely compassionate, forceful and unerring in its ability to provide excellent solutions to every problem that appears. So, you know, what could be better than that? It's nothing mysterious.
You've mentioned that there's the operating system, awareness, and there's the programs. So, and they're inseparable. Now, if one just gets into the operating system, can one... it seems like the programs are also necessary to work within, to make the system complete. Because just having an operating system It just, you know, it's just like having an operating system. But the programs make something happen and work. So within, say we get this basic space of awareness in our lives, can we also start adding programs, too, to, you know, for whatever, like, needs to happen? Or is that the way it works? Or
not, you know, really.
No? How does it work, then?
Well, if you have a computer and an operating system and you install software in it, then you have to get the software from somewhere and install it. So it's distinct. That's only an illustration. No simile is ever complete. So an illustration or a simile, it's just that. It's never complete. When we rest as awareness, what we realize is something about ourselves that most of us have never known, and that is that we enter a reality of no more learning, where we find we have mastery of many different fields without ever learning anything. And any kind of field we want to know about, we can just barely look at it and we know a great deal about it. And we also can see how everything fits together, relates to each other. So you see, this is much different than getting software and installing it. In other words, learning something. Right. Out of the habit of our points of view, we think that we have to learn everything we know from outside ourselves and then somehow get it inside ourselves. When we rest as awareness, we find a source of knowing that is inseparable from basic space. As basic space itself is what comprises everything without exception, that means that everything without exception, past, present, and future, is already present within it. If we have a belief system that learning occurs through buying books or going to school, and that's the only way it can occur, then that's what we'll believe in, and that's what will seem to happen. When we rest as awareness, we can participate in life freely as we like, without so much contrivance.
It is something like once we have the operating system, we boot the system, and we discover that, oh, Internet Explorer is already there, using which we interact with the outside world, and we start making use of that. So these programs are already there, hidden. We don't know that they are there in the operating system, and they just become visible once the operating system is there.
They do. You know what? I've referred to it in the past as the power menu. All of a sudden, you see a power menu that you never knew was there, and you can select from all the powers. But you know, it's like the sun. The sun's radiance cannot be kept back. It's just naturally present. And such is the case with the sun of wisdom awareness. Its radiance is naturally present. It's just something that we haven't really seen about ourselves before. And really, the only barrier to it is to continue to believe that all thoughts and emotions have significance in their own right, that they're substantial, that their label imputes an independent existence to them in some way. Now, there are many great thinkers out there, you know, so that thinking, just being a thinker and thinking, and then thinking about what you thunk, that's the only barrier, because there are a lot of people wrapped up in that. And it's very easy to see people who are wrapped up in that, because it's like this, you know, or like this.
Thank you.
instead of like this. In the thinking mind, everyone's a stranger, and in in the sun of awareness, no one is a stranger. Something more from anyone?
Really quickly, we can't lay claim to any thought as being our own.
No, because even the thought of our, it's just a thought too. So, you know, the personal identity point of view, that's just another point of view. And all of the points of view, no matter what they are, appear within awareness. This is an easy way to understand it. You see, it doesn't either impute non-existence or existence to personal identity. It doesn't say that it either exists or that it doesn't exist. It's beyond all extremes. And that's so relaxed, you know. It's really very relaxed, as you know.
So maybe somebody who's highly intuitive is plugging in and having more thoughts, but they're not their thoughts necessarily, but they're in that field of what you're talking about, and it's the solutions are coming quickly, so their thoughts coming, but they're really not necessarily their thoughts.
Well, you know, I wouldn't even call it intuition. I call intuition a point of view for the following reason. Intuition is a state, and sometimes it's correct and other times it isn't. And right?
Uh-huh. It's a feeling.
And so we say, okay, I had good intuition, but then we usually don't mention all the times that the intuition didn't work out. So intuition is just a point of view, but awareness is always right on target. It's laser-like. So awareness, it's not a state or getting into a space or anything like that. It's just the essence of being in which everything is totally clear.
Awareness is another word also that you could just impose on the situation, just like intuition.
You could, however, it's very important for there to be a word that everyone on earth can relate to, every human being on earth, and every human being can relate to mind and awareness as inseparable from the mind. There's no one anywhere on earth who can say, I am not aware. And so the word awareness is used. If we use the word intuition, then there would be a lot of people who couldn't relate to that. It's important to have descriptions of the fundamental nature of our being that everyone can relate to. And global human culture at this point is homogenized enough that for the first time that's possible.
When I have some doubt and at the same time when there is rest, and when I recognize that the doubt is just a point of view and it is rising in the consciousness and it is its own undoing, in that case, can I trouble you with that question? Keep asking the same doubt.
What is the question?
The question is, when I recognize that a doubt is just a point of view, it is arising and it will go down. Like now the doubt is coming, the same doubt. So in that case, I did not do anything. I rest more and more and that vanishes simply of its own. So still in spite of that, in spite of recognizing that and seeing that, can I ask that doubt again to you?
Oh, can you ask the doubt? The question? Of course.
But already, as such, there is no need of asking that way. When I recognize that it is just a point of view and it is...
Well, you either ask or you don't ask. But it's really important when resting is awareness to have someone to clarify your understanding with. Do you see what I'm saying? You need to have someone to check in with who's already gained complete familiarity with the wisdom awareness and to clarify your understanding. So if the doubt is such that you want to clarify your understanding and perhaps correct your understanding, then it's very important to ask about the doubt. Uh-huh. But, you know, there are two things to do with doubt. One is to rest as awareness, and it's obvious that it's a point of view that just vanishes. And the other is to question the essence of the doubter. Now, that involves more thinking about it. But both are points of view, the doubter and the doubt. When you just rest as awareness, both the doubter and the doubt resolve. It's just so important to ask ourselves if we really, really believe that an accumulation of points of view is our identity, that the accumulation of points of view we've had in our life up to this point, do we really believe that is our identity? And if we do, where is that personal identity located? Where does it dwell? Where can you find it within yourself? And if you think your whole body is your personal identity, then throw it in a linear accelerator and show me what it's really comprised of. Nothing but space. And if there's nothing but space, then what is aware? What is aware? It's the space itself that is aware.